I'm delighted to be joined in studio. Well, he's used to being behind the mic. He'll be coming up very shortly. It's our own Harry Keeney. How are you, Harry?
Margaret, delighted to be here. And by here, I mean this side of the studio desk, which is unusual.
And it is unusual. And you came the whole way from your office into me. And of course, you're in because you have actually published your first book, Cara Ray, Childhood. So how did this book come about?
I suppose there were a number of reasons why the book came about. It began with thoughts of writing a family history. I am an only child, so therefore I suppose I'm a link between generations, and there's the desire to put what I know down on paper. I'm also a reporter, a journalist, and when you are a journalist or a reporter, you sense almost an obligation at times to record these things and to, you know, leave them behind you, as it were.
Mm.
The second motivation, I suppose, was the fact that on the 29th of June, just gone, it marked the 40th anniversary to the day since I walked into the Roscommon Herald to begin training as a reporter under the editor there, Micheál O'Callaghan. And the 29th of June happened to be the day on which the book was printed as well. So the desire to mark that milestone and to record some of the family history were, I suppose, the two motivating factors that led to me writing the book.
Hmm. And how long have you been researching it before, from start to finish?
The actual writing, I started it in September 2017. It was an on and off process. Then COVID hit. I was off work for the most of a year, and that's when I really made progress on the book at that stage. The book sort of morphed from being a family history to my recollections of growing up in my own local area around Riverstown, and specifically the townland of Carraray, which is on Carraraybuck, which is, means the Grey Quarter. And the more I looked at that and the more I thought about that, I just felt there were so many people there. There were so many, people describe them as ordinary people. Personally, I don't like the word ordinary because I think that nobody
we're
really is ordinary.
Yeah, we're all
unique. Mm-hmm. Everybody is special. I felt it was important to record those people. And as I say in the book, to pay tribute to those people. And I do so with respect and gratitude. And I also notice when journalists write about milestones, or particularly career milestones, they usually focus on the big stories they covered, the important people they met and so forth. But I just preferred to do something which was different, and that was, instead of focusing on the so-called VIPs, I made the ordinary people who were around me as I grew up in the townland of Carraray, around me in Riverstown, I made them the VIPs,
yeah.
And they are the important people in this
book.
So
they were the characters in the community and people you grew up with, and you know, from our own areas, we all can pinpoint characters, and that's what you did in the book. And I mean, you talk a lot about, I suppose, things that you used to do yourself in your childhood, and days in the bog and making hay and going to the butcher and all this sort of stuff. And so it's the picture of what growing up in a community like yours and was like.
Very much so. And if I may say so, it's not just an account of growing up in the community, but it's an account from somebody who actually lived that life, who somebody who was actually there. And people refer to people in communities as characters. And when I told some people around Riverstown that I was putting this book together, they would say to me, oh, you have some great characters to write about. I always have had reservations about the word characters, because I feel that sometimes we may tend to treat them as caricatures. In other words, we exaggerate their peculiarities or their differences. But I think characters, even if, to use that colloquial word, odd, they can teach us an awful lot.
Absolutely.
Because if a person is so-called odd, or if they're different, do we accept them? Are we accepting? And in those people's quiet determination to continue as they are, they can be an example to us. And there were people like that in my area. There were also the so-called ordinary people. And the combination of all those people, they were the VIPs. They were the people who made the community tick. As I say in the book, the person who came to mow your meadow on the farm, the person who helped you bring home the turf from the bog, the man who was handy with animals when you didn't call the vet. These were the people on a day-to-day living basis in the community that made life easy for you.
Yeah, and they were the important people in the community. Harry, you're going to read, will you, a short excerpt from the book for me. Tell me about this that you're going to read.
Well, this particular excerpt, I think it goes to the heart of what it is to live in a rural community. Some people may regard it as a bit crude, but it's something that's, and I say it goes to the heart because it's about rebirth. It's about, you know, rebirth is at the heart of farm life. You have the cows, the calves, the sheep, the lambs and so forth. And renewal and rebirth is something that happens every year, every season. And I think this short excerpt captures that and hopefully captures it in a somewhat humorous way. Today, we hear much about small, specialised, niche farming, organic farming and so forth. Truth is, my father and other small farmers like him in the rural West were practising organic farming long before it became fashionable, and they didn't even realise it. We used few animal medicines and hardly ever called the vet. Cattle were rarely injected with medicine or other substances. The only injection I recall giving an animal was Trodax for red water and the very occasional dose for fluke and worms. Perhaps licks left in the trough for cows when they were deficient in some mineral or other. The times we most regularly saw a vet was when testing for brucellosis. The testing seemed to last for decades. And then bovine TB, for which cattle are still facing still failing tests, with herds locked up, leading to hardship and stress for their owners. On a farm, the facts of life were there for all to see. One could be called out in the middle of the night to help a cow to calve. Arriving in the cow byre, I might find my father up to his elbow trying to guide a new calf into the world. To create that calf in the first place, we might have got the services of the AI man from the Artificial Insemination Centre at Dunally on the Manor Hamilton Road, outside Sligo Town. Jack Kane and Tony Ford were the AI men I mostly recall. If my father was away and I was at home, my instructions might be to ask for an AA, Aberdeen Angus or Hereford Bull. The AI man then pulled the appropriate straw from a freezer flask in the boot of his car. With a plastic cover over his hand, he slid his arm and straw into the cow's uterus, elbow deep, so as to inject the semen into the proper place. Whenever the AI man was due to visit, my father insisted the cow house had to be as clean as possible, with a bucket of water, soap and a towel left for him to wash and dry his hands after he had done his job. The cow was then left inside for a few hours to rest. Other times we adopted the natural method by bringing the rambling cow, that's the cow in heat, to a neighbour's bull. On one occasion, while bringing a cow to a bull on neighbouring Porrig Calvin's land, I was running along the road ahead of my father with our cow in front. On the way, I stopped for a minute to talk to another neighbour, who was also bringing his cow to the same bull. My father was furious, scolding me afterwards for delaying and dallying at such a crucial time. "Why didn't you keep going? You need to always get in there first with your cow," he told me in no uncertain terms. One learned a lot on a farm.
Absolutely, Harry, and I'm just thinking there to when I was growing up and the cows running, and then you had to send for the AI man. That's all you'd hear, the cows running. That's the way it was described.
If you mention the AI today, people will think of artificial intelligence. They won't even think of farms.
Now, the name of the book is Caraway Childhood. Now, we have a number of people asking where they will get the book. So,
the book can currently be got in the Lieber Bookshop in O'Connell Street in the middle of Sligo Town. It can be got in Martin Baker's shop in Riverstown. It can be got at the Unawan Tourism and Craft Shop at King House in Boyle and at the Spar and Circle K outlet also in Boyle. And it will be distributed to more outlets in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, people might say, look, it's about the area and the townland that you grew up in. But even listening to you reading that excerpt from the book, a lot of people will be able to relate to that, you know, to relate to, you know, the making the hay, the you know, the farmer you'd send for that, you know, you'd want help with, and all those various different things.
Well, the former great US politician Tip O'Neill once said that all politics was local, but I think all local is also universal. And if the Pacifics may not be exactly the same, I think a lot of people, not only in Ireland, but in every rural community, can relate to the same feelings, the same anxieties, the same pressures, the same stresses, and the same, I suppose, trials and tribulations in life.
And, you know, Harry, we just have to finish on this one. A message that has just come into us. Harry has the real voice of a priest. Did he ever consider it? You could listen to him all day.
Now, well, thanks very much for those compliments. And thank you to you, Margaret. I appreciate it.
Come here, we'll have to read the book to find out if you ever considered it. That's the way. And so we'll be waiting on your next book when you get over this one.
Well, it'll be a few years down the line, but hopefully.
Oh, hopefully.